Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Grateful that you have tuned to Abounding Grace Radio. I am Pastor Chris Gordon, and as always, we are very grateful to bring these radio broadcasts to you on behalf of the Abounding Grace Board and all of those who are serving to make this possible. We thank you for your listenership and your support. We do ask you to write to us and support us both prayerfully and financially. You could write to us at P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264, or go to our website, brand new website, agradio.org. And we're thankful always for those of you who have supported. Thank you very much. We're very grateful to bring and to do this work and bring it to you. Well, we're continuing and concluding today, 1 Samuel chapter 6, and remember the setting, remember the scene. Israel had forgotten about the holiness of God. They had trampled that holiness underfoot. They threw the ark on the battlefield like a magic wand. It gets stolen by the Philistines. And a whole story is given to us to reteach Israel, to reteach us about the fundamental issue when it comes to God and his people. How can anyone stand before this holy God? And that's been the issue of the text. Remember, the Philistines are wrestling with that. Well, how do we propitiate this God? What kind of offering do we give him for a trespass offering? We've sinned. And so they offered, sadly, images of their tumors and rats. That's the best man can do. God won't accept it. God won't accept it. So here it is. The ark is coming now back into Israel. They put it on a new cart. They put it on unyoked cows and separated from the calves. So it's just something that should have never worked. But the Lord is the Lord of creation. And he told them very clearly that what he had done was because he was against them for their sin. So here we are. It enters back the land. The ark does. And remember, this is reteaching them the Exodus history. The ark itself has been an exile. There have been plagues. There's been plunder. There's been Exodus. There's been an entrance. There's been borders. There's been land. There's a Joshua here. There's stones here. It's all repeated. Scripture's telling the same story. So here it is. The ark comes up. What did deliverance mean for Israel? Did they really know what the holy God of Israel requires to have access? Do you? Do I? So here they tried to manipulate God's power by throwing the ark on the battlefield. And I gave a few scenarios yesterday of people who do this all the time. When we treat God like a product for our consumption, when we present God to the masses of the people as something that just works, it helps. God helps you kick the alcohol. God helps you kick the drugs. He makes you successful. He makes you rich. This is using God as Israel did and invites his judgment. And so here we are. Here we are. The greatest need had been forgotten. And Christianity today doesn't deal with symptoms. The Lord is getting to the heart of our issues in this text. The heart of our issues. And the whole story is moving to a climax to teach us something about the Lord. So the men of Beth Shemesh look up and they see the ark riding back on into the land. So they come to the ark. The Levites come and they take down the ark, and verse 15 sounds wonderful. Then the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and made sacrifices the same day to the Lord. They're having a wow worship service out there, let me tell you. God's come back to us. God's with us. Now listen to verse 19. These same worshipers do what? We read this. Then the Lord struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they had looked upon or into the ark of the Lord. The 70 men of the people were struck, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great blow. And this whole narrative, you see, as we've been making the case throughout this week, is leading us to the question of verse 20. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God?" There is the issue of Israel's fall. The Philistines had no concept of how to propitiate this God. And at least, you know, they came up some kind of sense to offer up golden tumors. Couldn't even come close. But Israel gets the ark back and they go and they try to look into it without any mediation. There was no understanding of his holiness, that no man can see God and live. And think of it. After hearing all their history of Exodus and Mount Sinai, they forgot they weren't even supposed to look into the ark without being destroyed? How does that happen, dear listener? Well, it wasn't that they didn't know. It was that they had created a God of their own imaginations. In their great familiarity with God and his mercy, they forgot him and his holiness. And if there is a trampling of that fundamental issue, who can stand before this holy God? If we can no longer answer that question, we've forgotten the fundamental purpose and the message of Christianity. This is what Isaiah realized when he saw the Lord high and lifted up and his glory filled the temple, and all he could do is drop and cover and pronounce covenant curses on himself. So we come to the question of the Heidelberg. If we deserve judgment, as our passage clearly shows, how do we get back into his favor? How can the claims be paid in full? And you see, this is why the Lord intertwined the Exodus narrative in this event. This is what the Exodus was teaching Israel. The Exodus here of the Ark is telling us much further about the original Exodus that Israel needed to know, much more information. You see, a greater story is being told. Israel needed to be reminded over and over, it wasn't that they were so special that God brought them out of Egypt. In sovereign grace, the message was, the only deliverance comes by the blood of a lamb that can give us access to this holy God who has said that he will tabernacle among his people. See, the Ark narrative is telling us that story, that in the fullness of times, the Son of God came alone into this world. When he was born, he was exiled down into Egypt. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. He came alone into this world, into exile, placing himself under our bondage. He alone had to endure this. He carried our sicknesses all the way to the cross. The sacrifice God provided for us was a perfect one. He was not only truly human that God might accept it, but he was truly divine, truly God to be able to endure it and satisfy that wrath. That's the question then that we come back with. R.C. Sproul had to write the book, Saved from What? Do you know? The most amazing truth of the Christian faith is that it announces that we are saved by God from God. Get that? It's the only way it can be done. And that's the only basis of his presence among us, the basis of him giving his only begotten son that he might save us from our sins. You see, we're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, not with, let alone golden tumors, right? With the precious blood of Christ, we were redeemed. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained from the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He is your Joshua. He saves his people from their sins. The exile, the exodus, the entrance is his story. And he's teaching us that through Israel's history, showing us the disaster that happens when among God's people there's no understanding of how we're able to stand before him, he's reteaching us this fundamental truth of the Christian faith. So here's the basic application I want to leave you with. Today we're being bombarded all the time to try to see God and bring him to us in a powerful way, a meaningful way. We have everything, right, under the sun today. Wow worship, best buildings, I could just go down the line of what everyone's focused on. And you know, what is the message here we're receiving? We have everything we need. for us to have access through the blood and the righteousness of his Son. That's what we proclaim. This is why the New Testament church had to tell, the New Testament apostles had to tell the church over and over, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Yes, it's foolishness to this world, but it's the power of God to save those who believe. What an amazing truth. When you worship, Christ has brought you near before the face of God by his blood. You don't have to go around lifting up lids. He's done it. And so what does that require of us? It's not that hard to figure out. Since our God, what does he say? Since we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That's New Testament. That hasn't changed. And in great reverence and awe, that this holy God would love us like this, providing a mediator who can actually save Christ's people from their sins. May that drive us to worship with the kind of joyful, fearful adoration that he deserves. You know, this is such an important point for us, isn't it? Show me a people who worship with this understanding, that God himself is with us, that reverence him in his holiness. You know what I'm going to show you? I'm going to show you a vibrant church full of people zealous for good works, truly making a difference in this pagan world that is desperately trying to appease this God with no real offering and no real understanding. Heidelberg Catechism asks that all-important question, that all very encompassing, all important question. If we deserve God's punishment according to God's righteous judgment, both now and in eternity, how then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? Most important question you'll ever ask. Question is, can you answer it? It's tragic that most Christians cannot today. We need a recovery of the gospel. We need a recovery of understanding, the joy of forgiveness, the joy that that provision is made in Christ alone and that our works don't contribute to it. Show me a people who understand that. I'll show you the joy of Christ in that place. I'll show you people who are so motivated and gospel-driven. All the problems we see in Christianity today of hypocrisy and just spiritual apathy will be overcome when this message gets into the hearts and lives of those who hear. We need this so desperately. I plead with the pastors today. Are you a pastor? What are you preaching? Self-help moralism? Are you just trying to tell us what to do? The power is not in our doing. The power is in the one who's done for us. We need that brought to bear on the hearts and minds of those who hear. Preachers, preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Stay there. Don't go anywhere else. May even that message drive us in our sanctification and holiness. That's our answer today. That's the message we herald. In Christ's great sacrifice, we have a mediator who is worthy. Let us never forget that. For apart from that issue, apart from that message, dear listener, we have absolutely no basis for ever, ever, ever standing before this holy Lord God of Israel. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are a listener-supported program, so we invite both your prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Visit our website at agradio.org. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.